Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Thanks, Darren. Praise the Lord. It's great to be back. Bless the Lord. For the more astute among you, you will notice that I've put on 3 stone while I've been in America. Glory to God. I think that's 6,000 kg, isn't it? When you do the translation, whatever it is. Amen. But it's so good to be back. And thank you for those that were praying for us. And thank you for the prayers for Traveling Mercies and also for the various assignments that we had in the conference that I had the privilege to speak at and the different churches that we ministered in. And again, we absolutely covet and are so grateful for the prayers from this house. So massive, massive, massive thank you. And while we're just giving out thank yous and recognizing different things, Michaela, who was on the worship team today, it's her birthday today. So we have to give her a round of applause, don't we? Love it. I don't know if you have that image. There we go. Praise the Lord. While we were away in the States, this precious lady, Marie O'Keefe, went to be with the Lord. And she was such a stalwart in the house for years with her husband, Brian. And glory to God, we will sorely miss her. And the last couple of years, she really struggled to get in physically into the house because of her ailments. But there will be a celebration of her life in the Marine Hotel Sutton. And that's next Sunday at 3 p.m. And just letting people know who would like to know and want to celebrate her great life. It's very, very apt that today I'm preaching on selfless generosity. And it's very, very apt because Maria O'Keefe embodied generosity in such a powerful way. I remember, and when myself and Susan were just thinking and giving thanks for her life in the States when we heard the news, we were just kind of thinking of every Christmas when the children were young, in those kind of tough times when coming up to Christmas, you could all do with a few more quid, a few more euros. We'd always get an envelope from Marie O'Keefe with money to put towards the gifts for the children every Christmas. And it's just appropriate that on this day, talking about selfless generosity, that we just get to mention that and thank God for her life. Just praying for Brian and the family now as they cope with their loss in Jesus' name. So as I've said, selfless generosity is what it's all about today, and getting straight into things. You know, I've just mentioned Marie O'Keefe. I could mention a lot of the people and the churches that we encountered on our trip to the United States. I know that Ireland's meant to be the country of 1,000 welcomes. Sometimes we kind of use our get out of jail card with that, because sometimes when you go to America and you receive their generosity and their hospitality and their love and their hearts, it humbles me, to be honest with you. I'm kind of going, my Lord, I just can't get my head around this. It just seems to be overflowing and exceptionally selfless. I was not just thinking about America. I wasn't just thinking about Maria O'Keefe, but I was thinking as well of Vivian and Vionette, who will be starting our St. Mark's West Church in Maynooth next Sunday. Glory to God, May the 12th. And again, selfless generosity. When they gave their story a couple of weeks back, you'll remember that they said they felt God calling them to Ireland, and they sold everything that they had in South Africa to come here to bring the gospel to people who don't know Jesus. That's called selfless generosity. Amen. And we need to honor it, and we need to bless it. We live in a world where people, the world, maybe we ourselves have reduced generosity to, oh, here comes the talk about money. Oh, I'm turning off now. I'm not going to mention money today. Amen. We're talking about generosity. Generosity isn't something that you do where you put money on a plate. Generosity is the way we are. It's not about doing, it's about being. A generous person is generous in every single way. And it's a massive connection between our walk with the Lord and our souls and our hearts. As we were worshiping, I didn't have this in the notes. As we were worshiping, I felt the Lord putting 3 words into my heart. Genuinely not in my notes, genuinely not in my preparations. The 3 words were mean-spirited culture. And I felt the Lord as we were praising, and there was such a sweet anointing on our worship team today, and as Darren led so well, I felt that these days we are combating, not just in the world, but in the church, a mean-spirited culture. Where there's this nearly onus on people not to speak generously about the house of the Lord, or not to speak generously, overflowing, about their church, but to be picky, 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 picky. Amen. I know no one in here has a mean spirit, praise the Lord. I'm talking about everyone out there. But sometimes it does leak into the house of God. And this sort of critical, cynical spirit, is everything perfect in this church? Absolutely not. Could there be probably more failures at times than successes? Absolutely. There's no perfect church this side of glory, amen. But there is your house that God has planted you in. And there is this opportunity to be generous with our hearts and our souls and our words and to build up and to bless. Amen? Amen? Thank you. I thought that you were kind of going the other way. Generosity is so much more. It's massive. Pure and genuine generosity is true selflessness. Generosity images God. Generosity is a way of being. Generosity is our nature rather than the odd action of throwing a few quid on a plate. Generosity is lavish. It's a disposition towards the other. Generosity blesses people. It honors God. It represents God well. Amen. That's what we're talking about today. Generous-hearted, generous nature. Here are some expressions of generosity, and there's not even going to be one mention of money. Amen. Are you ready? Two people are ready. Glory to God. Revival in the house. Revival in the house. Hospitality. Hospitality is being generous with what you have. Amen. Sharing what you have. Welcoming people in. Blessing people. Hospitality. Kind words. Three people with kind words. Glory to God, this is brilliant. Kind words. What we do with the use of our mouths and our tongues. It costs nothing to bless people. It costs nothing to be kind to the waiter or the waitress in the restaurant. It costs nothing to say thank you to the bus driver when you get off the bus. Hallelujah. Costs nothing, but it's generous. It's generous natured. Quality time. Being generous with the limited time we have on this planet. Being generous with the limited time we have on each day. Being generous with the limited time that we have because of all of our commitments. Helping in our homes. All the moms, amen, revival. Whether you live at home with your parents or whether you live where you're renting with a few people, honestly, people will see the generosity of your soul if you help out. If you're sitting on your armchair all day long, amen, and allowing everyone else to do their bit and you do nothing, that expresses mean-spiritedness. Can I say that behind your back, those people in the house don't really like you that much? I'm just saying it. I'm just putting it out there. If they're your parents, they have to love you. All of that kind of stuff. In your workplace, doing a good day's work. You see, doing a good day's work is generously using the skills God gave you to bless your workplace, to bless your company, and to bless your bosses. But there's a mean-spirited nature that could come in that just seeks to give off about your bosses all day long and to do the minimum to get the check, that's America talk, to get the money to go home and just to give off about work again. Are you generous natured in relationship to your work? Treating your spouse to a date, still not talking about money. Amen? You don't have to spend money to have a date. This isn't Revelation. So you can go for a walk with your spouse. Everyone here able to walk? Hallelujah. You can go for a date. Quality listening. Turn off the telly for 5 minutes. Hallelujah. going the extra mile for your neighbor. Still haven't mentioned money. We're not mentioning money today. This is generosity we're talking about. If this was a talk about money, it'd be called money, but it's called generosity. And we're talking about a nature, a way of being, going the extra mile for our neighbor. Do you pull in your neighbor's bins? Amen. Pulling in your neighbor's bins when you pull in your own. Do you have a shared garden with your neighbor? Do you just mow the lawn right up to the imaginary line that you've put there? Or are you exceedingly generous? All of these things are just expressing a nature and a heart. Generosity is the opposite of being stingy, of being mean, of being mean-spirited. Generosity expresses a soul that's alive and a soul that's concerned about the other. It's easy to be mean. Sometimes it's hard to be generous. But generosity fills and fulfills. And may God bless us with that. Sean, are we going to go to the Bible? Yeah, of course. Mark 12, and we're reading from 28 to 44. One of the teachers of the law came and heard debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. I just think that's gas. This guy, well said, well done, Jesus. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put my enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with great delight. As he taught, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in marketplaces, have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. But they devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Jesus then sat down opposite the place where offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples unto him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything. She put in everything, all she had to live on. Lord, we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. A couple of points to leave with you today and to challenge us all in our hearts. Selfish generosity. I was Sean Connery there for 2 seconds. Selfish generosity is measured by the size of the sacrifice, not the size of the gift. See, generosity isn't real generosity unless it's sacrificial. Amen. Even ungenerous people can give gifts. Amen. Even ungenerous people can give money in church. But Jesus is attracted to the widow, to her might, to her total heart of generosity, to her sacrifice. She has given the most because she's given her all. The others gave what they could give. The others gave what they could afford to give. The others gave what they could do without. But she gave everything. She totally encapsulates selfless generosity. Look at verse 41. It said in the scripture, Mark 12, many rich people threw in large amounts. Threw in large amounts. Can you say it's nearly been expressed in a disdainful way? They came in, treasury, threw in their money, and they left. The widow comes in and she places all she has into the treasury, delighted that she can do so. Calling his disciples unto him, Jesus said, they all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on. Can we see the heart of sacrifice in this precious lady? Hebrews 13 verse 16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Do not forget. You see, we forget at times to be generous-spirited, generous-hearted, generous in our nature. Do not forget to do good and to share with others. By such sacrifices, God is pleased. Of course, the greatest sacrifice that has ever been expressed has come from the divine sacrifice, from the heart and generosity of our God. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Jesus voluntarily giving himself unto death on the cross was indeed the greatest act of sacrifice in the history of the world. A perfect demonstration of his own teaching in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lays down one's life for their friends. His supreme and generous giving, his supreme sacrifice shines beyond all sacrifices that ever could be made. On behalf of him or on behalf of man. How great is the sacrifice that our Jesus Christ has expressed. And of course, we are meant to be image bearers of Christ. And so the one who paid the greatest sacrifice, the one who truly laid down his life, is the image that we seek to carry through our lives. And so Christianity was never meant to be a carrier of the stingy, mean-spirited heart. It was always meant to be an expressor of the generous heart. This is our God. Selfless generosity is measured by the size of the heart, not the size of the donation. God's not looking at your wallet. Amen? Sometimes when you would hear people criticize churches or slag off churches or want to say something cynical about churches, they point to the relationship between churches and money. But we know, being in the house of the Lord, that God isn't interested in our wallet. He's interested in our hearts. If God only has your wallet, that's a very, very small portion of you. God wants your heart, so he has all of you. He has given his all. And he calls for all. And so you can have the debate about money and whether to give or not to give. That's between you and God. But God's after your heart. And he wants your heart and he wants you to love him and he wants you to receive his love. He wants you to know that you truly are lovely and lovable. And that he is mad about you. When Susan and I started going out, I'm so glad she wasn't a gold digger. Amen. I didn't have any gold. I didn't even have a gold filling in my teeth. I'm so glad that she wasn't a wallet chaser. I'm so glad that she wasn't someone that was making a decision about our future relationship based on stocks and shares and ability to provide. I'm so grateful that that wasn't our heart. I'm so grateful that she was interested in my heart. I'm so grateful that she was interested in my heart. I read this last night, and Lord above, it was one of those just stories on Instagram or Facebook. I can't honestly remember, but it was so beautiful. And it was this person sharing how when he started falling in love with the woman who would become his wife. He was so poor that he didn't have an engagement ring, but all he had was a sweet, or as the Americans say, a piece of candy. It was an American story. And he got down on his knee with the piece, with the sweet, and asked her to marry him. He said, this is all I've got. But if you marry me and we're together, I believe we can build a life and we can build a future together. And they broke the sweet in half and they had a piece each and they built a life together, a happy life together and a generous life together. What started so small grew into something big, because when you're generous hearted, God can make even the small multiply. I can remember sitting down the park bench with Susan and telling her, long before we came near any of the doors of this church or open door in Lucan, that I felt called to be a pastor. And I genuinely was giving her the heads up, because I was making it clear that we weren't on a kind of a quick road to get rich scheme. Amen. And just let her know that the call to be a pastor and what was ahead wouldn't be easy. And I'm so grateful that Susan was interested in the heart. You see, the widow's giving, her disposition, touched Jesus' heart. She was a widow. She had no support. There was no social welfare in those days. All she truly had was God. In Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4, Jesus says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You see, even generosity and giving has to be done with the right heart. In our selfie generation, we're finding out about what everyone has given and who they're given to. Here I am dropping the money in. Like, there's all of this kind of, I want acknowledgement for my immense generosity. Right there, that's not impressing God. God is impressed by what's done in the secret place, in the heart, where nobody sees. Where nobody sees and where nobody knows. Observed generosity impresses man, but it doesn't impress God, because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. God loves the giving only he knows about. He loves the generosity that is found in a secret place. And so I found in our lives as we've grown together that there are certain things that we do that we just do because we follow Christ and we give our first fruits to God. That's always what we've done in our married life and in our independent lives before we got together. We give our first fruits to God, and then we have whatever bills we have to pay and responsibilities, and then if there's a few quid for savings or whatever. But then there's the times where God will ask us to bless someone or to give to something that nobody knows about and nobody will ever know about, because it's a generosity that God has called us to in the secret place. God's testing our hearts. I'd love to say to you, brothers and sisters, that every time that God speaks to me in the secret place and says to be generous to someone or something, that I go, hallelujah. I'd love to say that every time that God stretches me in this topic of generosity, that I have the right response. But to my shame, I don't. Sometimes I play this little game with God. Lord, forgive me for playing games. But so I will be driving somewhere, or I will be in a meeting, or God will be speaking to me in the secret place, and the Lord will put an amount in my heart. And if it's one of those kind of amounts, or if it's something where it's like, you know, you kind of take that little pause and you go, Lord, is that really you? What I will do a lot of times is, I will then come back to Susan and I will kind of go, the Lord is putting this in my heart, you know. What do you think we should give? And it's always so annoying that Susan gives the amount that God said. Generosity requires us to have the right heart attitude, to give with the right heart, to give with all of our heart. God is not impressed with very large bank accounts. He wasn't impressed by the lads coming in with their big bags of money and throwing it into the treasury, throwing it in. He's not impressed unless we have a generous heart that gives in every way. If we have a heart that understands that generosity is so much more than money, I love in 1 Timothy, where Paul is writing to his young mentee, to his young disciple, so to speak. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. This God who richly provides us with everything we need for our enjoyment. Command them. This has gone beyond money. This is into the sphere of generosity. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay treasure up for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that truly is life. You want true life? You want fulfilling life? You want satisfying life? You want the life that everyone out there is seeking? Be generous. Be generous. Do good. Be rich in deeds. Be generous to people that you don't even know. What a challenge Christianity is to us. Isn't it brilliant to be able to listen to that scripture and to go, well, I'm not rich. But if you're living in Ireland, you're in the top 5% richest people in the whole world. Sorry, I'll just move on very quickly. Selfish generosity is measured by the size of the joy, not the sense of obligation. In verse 37, we saw that the large crowd were listening to Jesus with great delight. They loved the way Jesus was flummoxing and confusing the elite religious people. They absolutely loved it. And as Jesus generously pours out words from his mouth and his heart into those that would receive it, the crowd is generously receiving it. How do we know the crowd was generously receiving what Jesus was saying? Well, it says that they were full of delight. How will I know that I've received this word on generosity? I'll either leave with dread, which shows that I've listened to it with a mean spirit, or I will leave with a great sense of joy and delight. Hallelujah. Here's another access point to life in its abundance. What is that access point? Generosity. Thank you, Lord, for letting me know. Oh, gosh. As Jesus is pouring out generously to these people, they're generously receiving. Do we give our ears and our heart and our soul generously to God so that he can fill us with delight on a daily basis in our quiet times, in our walk with him? You see, generosity is not just about giving, it's also about receiving. Were you ever generously received into a home or a party? Didn't it fill you with joy? You know when you're received, someone receives you into their life, into their area of doing life. You know, different times I've been received into people's workplaces. They wanted to show me around and it's just been so lovely and it's filled me with joy because I've been generously received. Amen. So it's not just about giving. We can generously receive people, receive God's word, receive his presence, receive his life. Did you ever go to a stingy party? If the person is close near you, you don't have, just keep looking at me. Did you ever go to a stingy party where like 3 minutes in, all the food was gone? Didn't it kind of fill you with a sense of awkwardness? You wanted to, you know, quietly run around to the local spa and get a bit of grub in, get a bit of food in. It's better to be generous. To generously give and to generously receive. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful. That was so woeful, it's unbelievable. I'm going to say that again. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. The wealthy threw in their money. What an ugly image of ugly giving. But the widow is delighted that she has something to give. She is delighted. Maybe it's the first time in a long while that she's had anything to give to the house of God, to God. She notices that she has this opportunity and she does so with joy. And this delights the heart of God. We're nearly there. Selfish generosity is measured by the size of the freedom, not the size of the legal requirement. Can I just say here very, very quickly, the widow's offering is often used by some churches and some televangelists to encourage the faithful to follow her example by making large donations despite difficult, precarious situation. That's not what we're doing here with the scripture today. If you feel that you're in a season where you can't afford to give, you've got to pray to God and ask God to help you to move you into a season where things can open up a bit more for you. Your walk with the Lord and your giving is between you and the Lord. As an example, genuinely hand on heart, I would consistently encourage people to give first fruits to God because it says, God, you're the most important one in my life, 100%. But if you're going through a difficult time and you're finding that church or different calls for giving are being hard on your heart because you're in a tough place, hold on to your money till you get through the tough place. Amen. And may the Lord bless you. No one in this church will ever be putting pressure on anyone to give. None of the leadership team in this church know who gives or what they give because that causes leaders to treat people differently. But we want to treat people exactly the same. Whether you give or you don't give, it shouldn't matter. We should love each other anyway. Amen. So we're not going to use this to manipulate people. This is abhorrent to God when scripture is used to manipulate people. Jesus then condemns religious leaders. So there's some churches and some televangelists that will use this and say, look, like the widow, even though you're poor, give everything. No, please don't listen to that. That's not the heart of this message. In fact, Jesus then condemns the religious people and he points to the religious people and the crowd are delighted and he says, watch out for those who devour widows' houses. They were after just wealth and money. They had no care for the widows. They just wanted their houses. They'd be kind to the widows when they knew that they were close to death in the hope that the widow would leave the house to them. It was abhorrent. God, deliver us from mean-spirited Christianity. You see, hers was a sacrifice that she chose to give freely. She did it in freedom. Selfish generosity comes from a place of freedom. If ever you feel that you're under compulsion, it's not the Holy Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you feel under compulsion to give, that's not freedom. Don't give. Amen? But if you know that you should give, and it's confirmed with God and confirmed in your heart, but you choose not to, that's between you and the Lord. That's a different issue right there. Hers was a sacrifice she chose to freely to give. Hers was a sacrifice she wasn't asked for. Jesus didn't ask her to give. Nobody asked her to give. Hers was a sacrifice that was truly sacrificial because it was done in total freedom. If she had held on to the coins to feed herself that day, that would have been a wise use of the money. But she chose herself freely to give that money. And it blessed the heart of God. She was the most unshackled person apart from Jesus in that church, in that synagogue. She was the most free person in that place. As the wealthy came in doing their legal requirements, carrying their bags of money and throwing it into the treasury, she was the one that showed that money had no hold over her. All the religious leaders smothered in religiosity were slaves of the law, giving to fulfill the law, doing their duty rather than expressing a heart of generosity. None of them, the wealthy who carried in their big wads of money or the religious leaders gleefully applauding them on, none of them were free. Jesus and the widow were free. Going to ask the worship team to join me on the platform as we close out. And our last point, selfish generosity is measured by the size of our love, not our desire for human approval or luxury. Can I say to my brothers and sisters who like to watch certain channels, if you give to certain ministries or you give to God in order to get rich, can I lovingly rebuke you right now? We give to God because he's God. Full stop. There's this plan or this thought that, you know, I'll give so I'll get rich. I'll give so I'll get a plane like that minister. That'll never be spoken about in this church. We encourage generosity of life, of nature, of being, hospitality, being a good spouse, being kind, being there for people, being generous with our time, opening our homes, being a blessing to people. We encourage the whole gamut of generosity. And if you want to impress God, and if you want to be known for eternity as generous, then love generously. Love selflessly. Love gets the attention of God. With her very little, the widow displayed extravagant love for God and his house. The Lord noticed the religious leaders' lust and love for wealth as they devoured widows' houses. They were using God to get wealth and luxury. But the widow was giving to God because he was God. They walk around in flowing robes. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. They love to have the most important seats in the synagogue and the place of honor in the banquets. They devour widows' houses and they just love to impress with lengthy prayers. Just be generous for the love of God. For the love of God, just be generous. In the scripture today, the two greatest expressions of generous love are given to us by Jesus. I don't know if you missed them. The teacher of the law comes to Jesus and says, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus says, the most important one is this. The Lord is one. So love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well said, teacher. The young fellow replied, you're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, all your understanding, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. Love and being loving, loving God and loving your neighbor is more important than the greatest offering that you could ever give, burnt or unburnt. It's more important than the whole law. It's more important than all the prophets had to say. Generous love poured out to God and poured out to your neighbor is what we're called to. What does love given to God selflessly look like? It looks like this. Love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your understanding, all of you. What does love given to your neighbor look like? What does generous, selfless love to your neighbor look like? Love them like you would like to be loved. Love them like you love yourself. In all of this, of course, Jesus exemplified this sort of generosity. In 1 John 3:16, and you'll remember this because John 3:16 is the great sacrificial love statement, for God so loved the world. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but let us love with actions and with truth. Can we all stand, please? Lord Jesus, we just want to come before you today. We want to repent and say sorry for the times that we've been mean-spirited with our tongues about your house, mean-spirited and cynical about pure generosity. Lord God, forgive us, Lord God, when we have shut down our ears about the generosity talk because we thought it was going to be all about money. But Lord, would you just open our hearts and open our very natures today to be like your heart and your nature, generous, giving richly, providing for, blessing, seeking the betterment of the other. Would you help us, Lord God, to be mindful and to see the need that is all around us in any given day, the need in our home where someone might just need to hear us say, I love you. Let's be generous with those words. Lord, where a boss just needs us to turn up and give our all that day, help us to be generous with our work. Where a neighbor is sunk in deep depression and just pulling in their bins can lift them out of it for a few moments of that day. Help us to be generous, God. Wherever we go, whatever we do, help us to be that person that's kind and generous to the waiter, to the waitress. Help us to be that person that's kind and generous when the till has broken down and the person in the shop is working so hard and they're flustered. May we be the ones that say, it's all right, take your time. God, help St. Mark's to be a generous church. Help us to be a generous people. And help us to image the generosity of our Christ all of our days, in Jesus' mighty name.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.